Let's turn to the book of Judges again, chapter 13. Judges, chapter number 13. Judges chapter 13, we're going to read from the 15th verse down to the end of the chapter. Judges 13, verse number 15. This is our sixth week in the life of Samson. And you might be glad to know that this is the day that Samson gets born, so we're making a little bit of progress, maybe not just as fast as we would have liked, but want to look at the last two verses of this chapter. Judges 13, verse number 15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret, or wonderful, as it might be recorded in your margin? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and the meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts for his own namesake. Verse 24 and 25. And this morning our subject is the birth and boyhood of a deliverer. The birth and boyhood of a deliverer. Can we just wait upon the Lord for a few moments in prayer, asking God for his help? Let's just pray. Our Father, we thank thee that thou art a God who uses weak instruments and weak vessels for thy glory. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou dost do this, that no flesh would glory in thy presence. And Father God, we confess today that we have nothing to glory in save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, today we pray that thou wilt grant that we would hear thy voice. We pray, Lord, that thy Spirit will descend upon us. And thou wilt speak, Lord, to every heart. Thou dost know the need of every life, of every home. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak to hearts and lives today. Choose us, Lord, while we're young, while we have our youth before us. Speak, Lord, to young people in this meeting. Those, O God, who perhaps recently have just been born, in a spiritual sense, born again. And those, O God, who are in their boyhood and childhood, Lord, whether it's physically or spiritually. Lord, we need thee, and we pray that thou will come. Visit us and speak to your hearts. We ask all these things in the Saviour's name and with a single eye to thy glory. For the Saviour's sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Here in Judges chapter 13, verses 24 and 25, we have recorded for us the birth and the boyhood of Samson. After many months of waiting, after months of that the Children of Israel were delivered into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. So there were months and years of bondage. And then for Manoah and for his wife, there were also months of burden. But after months of bondage and months of burden, Samson is born. And I believe that these two verses are some of the most thrilling verses in the whole story of Samson from beginning to end. Because they are verses that are full of hope. Full of hope for a man, Samson. Full of hope for a family, Manoah and his wife and the little boy. And also verses that are full of hope for a nation. Because God uses individuals. Often the destinies of nations and the destinies of families and the destinies of towns hinge upon God using and choosing individuals and anointing them and leading them out in the power of the Lord and in the Spirit of the Lord. And so as we look at these two verses this morning, there is so much hope, so much promise and so much potential in the life of this young boy that's been born into the world. And what hope we have here this morning in this service. Our numbers in the eyes of the world might be small and our numbers might be few, but I believe that there is so much hope, so much promise, and so much potential in this service this morning, because the Lord is not bound by numbers. And where God can find one or two or just a handful of individuals sold out to God, filled with God's Spirit, surrender to the will and plan and purpose of God for their lives, God can do mighty things because one man with God is always a majority. Some here today that are still in boyhood, still in childhood. Some that have just been born again of God's Spirit. And you've got everything going for you this morning. Some of you have got Christian parents that love you and love God and will give you every encouragement as you serve the Lord and as you walk with God. And I would encourage you today, young person or young believer, go for it. Seize the day. Take every opportunity that God gives you and go through with God and give your life to God unreservedly, because ultimately God can do more with your life than you can. Show to this incredulous world what God can do with an empty and with a consecrated vessel. The narrative of Judges chapter 13 verses 24 and 25 is something that could and should apply to every single one of us this morning who knows the Lord. And the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. These verses record for us the birth and the boyhood of a deliverer. The birth and boyhood of Samson. And I've got 7 points. Now don't panic whenever I say that. I'm going to keep them brief, as briefly as I can. And they're very, very simple. And I just want to encourage you this morning as we think about the birth and boyhood of Samson. First of all, a promise fulfilled. And the woman bare a son. Now, it tells us in verse number 5 that the angel of the Lord had said to Manoah's wife, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son." That was a promise. And here we are, many months later, almost a year later perhaps, and the woman did conceive, and the woman now has given birth to a son. And friend, God does keep his promises. Here we see once again a promise fulfilled. In spite of all physical, and in spite of all biological impossibilities, Manoah's wife conceived. She carried a child in her womb. And then whenever the right time has come, according to God's appointment, she gave birth to a son. And God fulfilled his promise in spite of her barrenness. You see, friends, this morning our God is not bound by human potential or human possibilities. The possibilities with God are boundless, and the potential with God is endless. God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. What God promised, He was able also to perform. And we read as well about a man in Scripture by the name of Abram, whose wife Sarah was barren. We've talked before about the barren wombs in Scripture more often than not gave birth to the best of sons. And whenever God said that Abraham's wife would conceive and bear a son, the Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but rather Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, because he believed that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And isn't it true today that we often look at things on an entirely and purely physical standpoint or point of view? We look at things and we think, well, I suppose that could happen. God could do that. Because we look at it and we think, well, we could look at a natural sequence of events, and you could look at the end result, and yes, you could see how that could happen. But we ought to look at all situations in life through the window of Holy Scripture, through the looking glass of God's promises. Because whenever we put God, Almighty God, between us and circumstances, it gives an entirely different outlook on life. God has opened our eyes. I wonder today, do you believe the promises of God? We talk about them, don't we? We quote them in prayer. We will say them to weak believers who are maybe going through trials. Well, sure, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And God hears and answers prayer. And God's a miracle-working God. And sure, the Bible says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Bible says that if we call upon the Lord, He'll do great and mighty things that we've never known or experienced before. But if we're honest, we don't believe a word of it. Perhaps the world this morning is looking on saying, well, why are none of these great and mighty things happening? Is it because of unbelief? Is it because we think that there are certain things that are just too big and too difficult for God to handle? Well, this little verse of Scripture, the woman bare a son, shows a promise fulfilled. A woman who, outside of God, would have never had any children, but yet God came upon her and God touched her and God gave her fruit for her womb. Now, the promise was not fulfilled immediately. God did not say to her, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and within 2 or 3 minutes she was nursing a little baby boy. It didn't work like that. She conceived. She went through a time of burden carrying that child in her womb. She went through a time of labour and a time of travail. And she brought a little baby boy into the world. And it took time. And God is never in a hurry, folks. God's time scale and timetable is always different than ours. God is neither bound by time or by space. And as God said through the prophet Habakkuk, that the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. For it shall come and it shall not tarry. Do not give up on God's promise. God will keep His promise. A promise fulfilled. Notice as well, after that, a person named. The woman bare a son and she called his name Samson. The name Samson, it literally means sunny. Or like the sun. And I believe today that Samson's father and Samson's mother prayed about that name. What shall we call this boy? And they called him like the sun. Or sunny. Their desire was that this boy would shine for God. God had given them promises. God had got claims in his life. And he shall begin to deliver the Israelites out of the hands of the Philistines. Very well, they said, let us call his name Samson. Let us pray that he will shine for God all the days of his life. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And this ought to be, and I'm sure it is, the desire of every God-honoring Christian parent, that the children that God has given to us might shine for God. I have got two desires for my children. I pray that they will be fulfilled. First of all, that the light of God's countenance will shine upon them. The Aaronic blessing, Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord be gracious unto thee. And friends, unless the Lord God of glory lifts up the light of his countenance and reveals himself to your children, they'll never be saved. We need to pray that the Lord will reveal himself to your children. My prayer, first and foremost, is that God will shine upon my children. I'm sure that's the prayer of every Christian parent here. But above and beyond that, my prayer is also that not only will God shine upon my children, but that my children one day will shine for God. Will shine for God. And Samson's name, from the day of his birth until he reached the age of understanding, right until the day he would go out to meet his God, his name would ever be a reminder to him that he was not to walk in darkness, but he was to walk in the light of God's countenance. And the Bible so many times talks about walking in the light. The Bible warns us against walking in darkness. But the Bible encourages us to walk in light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As Samson grew up and reached the age of understanding, maybe taking an interest, as the Jewish people did, in their names and their backgrounds and why they were thus named. Why is my name Samson? Well, son, we want you to shine for God. God has got claims upon your life. We have taken vows and made promises and offered prayers before God that your life will be blessed, that your life will be used, and that you will be strong and know your God. And all Samson's life, this was ringing in his ears. Even at those times whenever he was out of fellowship with God, he could think of those times whenever his parents had prayed for him, had loved him, had instructed him, and explained all about the plan and purpose that God had for his life. His very name was a testimony to what he ought to have been. A life of consecration and a life of separation. A promise fulfilled, a person named. But notice as well the progress witnessed. And the child grew. It's a healthy sign whenever a child begins to grow. I'm sure if we've got children ourselves, we worry about them. There's not only a physical burden upon a woman that carries a child in her womb, but there's a mental burden as well, hoping that everything will be well with the child. And once the child is born, praying and just entreating the Lord that the child will grow, that it will be strong, that it will eventually get up onto its feet, that it will develop. And it's a healthy sign whenever a child grows. We're so thankful for it, that the Lord has given us health and strength. And Samson grew in stature. And he grew in strength and he grew in spirit. And it is God's will that after we're born again and we've been brought to birth spiritually, that we will grow. And I have to confess this morning that I've still a lot more growing to do in a spiritual sense. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. Now, one of the problems with the church in Corinth was that they hadn't grown. The Lord had saved them. The Lord had delivered them. The Lord had forgiven them. They'd been saved out of all sorts of immoral lifestyles. Some of them were sodomites. Some of them were idolaters. Some of them were pagans. Some of them were devil worshippers. Some of them were drug abusers. Some of them were fornicators. They were just pagans. And then the Lord entered in and he delivered them and he saved them and they were born again.
But whenever Paul wrote to them after his first visit, he said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat because you weren't able to bear it. He says, you're still, after all this period of time, still babes in Christ. Oh, they were saved all right, but the problem was they were just big babies. Some of them maybe 5, 6, 7, 10, 50 years old, and they were still babies in a spiritual sense. And their churches today, right across our land, oftentimes display that same kind of characteristic that the church at Corinth had. Churches that are filled with big babies. You know, there's certain things about babies that remind us of Christians at times. Babies cry a lot. And a lot of Christians cry a lot. Always complaining. And so easily hurt and so easily offended. Sometimes, and I'm sure you've experienced, a little child falls and it comes running in and crying its eyes out. Ah, Daddy or Mummy, I've hurt myself. And you say, where have you hurt yourself? And then they begin to look and they think, well, which hand was it? And they, you know, it's so superficial. And then eventually they'll find a little spot that you hardly see. And they'll need a plaster for it. And they'll need a bandage. And they'll need to be nursed. And they'll need to be lifted and hugged and kissed. And given maybe a wee treat to, just to get over it. And Mummy will kiss it better. And they cry a lot. And a lot of Christians, they are the same. They get hurt by things that you would hardly even see. And whenever you ask them, why did you get offended in the first place? They'll maybe scratch their heads and think, I can't really remember. Babies sleep a lot too, some of the time. Sometimes we say, I slept last night, I slept like a baby. And if that's our house, it means that you're up at 2 o'clock and then you fell asleep for a while and then you woke up again at 3 and then you were up a little bit later and then you were up again at 5 and then you slept during the day whenever everybody else was awake. Babies sleep a lot. And so do a lot of Christians. The Word of God says, awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake, awake, and put on strength. And the Church of Jesus Christ in these days is largely sleeping. And whenever you wake up a sleeping baby, it cries even more. I was sitting yesterday nursing Luke and he fell asleep and then the telephone rang and boy, that just upset him. And he got all cranky and cross because he'd been woken up and went and answered the phone and came back and nursed him a little bit and then eventually went back to sleep. And then he woke up a little bit later because I was nursing and my mind moved and boy, he got upset again and he woke up. He's quite a good child, really. I'm painting a very bad picture. But whenever you wake them up, they do kind of cry a little bit more. And whenever you wake up a sleeping Christian, boy, they'll be cross. W.P. Nicholson said, if there's a herd of pigs and you throw a stone into the middle of them and you hear a squeal, he says, you'll know you'll hit something. And whenever somebody cries and squeals, you know that you've hit a sore point. Babies can't feed themselves. You could have cupboards filled with food and leave the little baby there in its pram and say, I'm going out for the day. There's a tin of baked beans there and there's a stove there and just you eat away and just don't go hungry. Babies can't feed themselves. And a lot of Christians can't feed themselves either. Once on a Sunday is enough food for the average Christian today. And we don't know how to feed ourselves. And we never get a word from the Lord in the secret place. And we don't hear God speaking to us through His Word. And that's why whenever we come to church on Sundays, we don't like long sermons because we don't have such an appetite. Babies can't walk either. They need to be lifted and they need to be laid. And the Christian life is a walk. It's not rolling around the floor like a charismatic, squealing and making all sorts of noises. It's a walk of maturity. And Samson, he began to grow. There was progress that was witnessed. And I'm sure as Samson began to grow, he didn't really notice himself growing. I can remember whenever we were young, maybe going somewhere on holidays, you know, the situation. Maybe you go to a beach and there's a little cove there and maybe at the back of the cove there's a cave. And whenever you're a little boy, it's just wonderful. And then maybe years later you go back to it and it's so much smaller than you remembered. You think, I thought this place was bigger. And you go in and you're having to crouch down. And you haven't noticed that over all those years you've been growing. And sometimes Christians can get discouraged because they think, I'm not growing as I should be. But others notice you growing more than you will. And it's wonderful today to see people in our church who maybe over the last 6 months or a year or 2 years have come to the Lord and there's growth. And you can see it so clearly. Maybe they don't see it, but I can see it. The progress witnessed. Look at the presence of God experienced. The Lord blessed them. And the greatest blessing that anybody can have in life is the presence of God with you. Jabez prayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, that thy hand might be with me." Lord, I want your blessing. What was the blessing that he sought? The presence of God in his life. Lord, let your hand be with me. And this child, Samson, is growing. He's still a child, but the Lord is blessing him. The Lord is with him. And friends, this is what we need in our lives, our homes, our families. The blessing of heaven. The blessing of God with us. The presence of God in our homes. And you know, as I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but wonder, was God's blessing in Samson's life anything to do with the obedience and the character of his parents? God promises to bless those and honour those who honour him. And we can look at the life of Samson. Times whenever he knew God's blessing, and times whenever he departed far from God and for a long time was out of fellowship with God. But the Bible does say, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." And despite all Samson's failure and all his fallings and all of his fearfulness and all of his fornication, he could never point to inconsistencies in the lives of his parents for the mistakes that he made. Because they loved him, they prayed for him, they instructed him, they warned him, they counseled him. But ultimately, whenever Samson was old, having made so many mistakes, the hair of his head began to grow again. And Samson was more mighty in death than he ever was in life. The presence experienced. Consider with me as well the power realized. The Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him. The old Quakers used to talk about being moved by the Spirit. And they would sit in their meetings, and there would just be silence, and then somebody would have said, "I feel led by the Spirit to say this, that, and the other." Maybe Samson was a Quaker. The Spirit of God began to move him. And you know, that's what we need today, the Spirit of God to move us. The Spirit of God to shake us. And the Spirit of God to come upon us. And Samson, as a youth, as a boy in childhood, there were times whenever the Holy Ghost came upon him. The Holy Spirit led him and guided him and empowered him at different times. He could look as a teenager back and say, "You know, the Spirit of God led me, and the Spirit of God came upon me, and the Spirit of God filled me, and the Spirit of God used me." At times he could look in his life and he had up-to-date experiences with God, and it was an ongoing process. And you know, the Holy Spirit is not restricted by a person's age. It's not for old folk only. It's for young people as well. And young person this morning, the greatest counsel that any preacher or pastor could give to you is seek the infilling of God's Spirit. Give your life to God and cry unto God to fill you and to use you. You see, Samson's strength wasn't natural. Sometimes you look at children's story Bibles and you'll see this picture of Samson, and he just looks like Hercules. He's maybe about 7 feet tall, and he's got huge pecs, and he's got a six-pack down here, and he's got huge, huge arms, and he's like lifting off these gates, and he's just like a big weightlifter. And you have this idea that Samson has spent hours pumping iron in the gym and taking protein and eating tuna fish and just taking all this stuff, and he's just this huge, big bodybuilder, maybe something like myself. And thought you'd catch up on that. Somebody told me once I was built like a coat hanger. And a wire one they were talking about, you know. But Samson, I don't believe, had this physical appearance of being like some kind of bodybuilder. One of these guys that's, you know, shaped like a whale's tail. A little skinny waist, then huge at the shoulders. You know, Samson's strength wasn't explained naturally. Because in Judges chapter 6, 16, verse number 6, Delilah says, "Tell me, what's the secret of your strength?" Tell me wherein thy great strength lieth. You see, if Samson was a Herculean man with huge muscles and a huge barrel chest, she would have known where his strength lay. And the Philistines would have known too. This man spends literally all his day lifting weights. That's why he's so strong. No. Samson just looked like any other man. But there was something within Samson that was the explanation of his great strength. It wasn't either the length of his hair. Some people think, well, if Samson's hair was shoulder length, he was strong. But if it went down, right down his back, maybe down to the floor, Samson would have been even stronger. And the longer his hair was, the stronger his arms were. We used to sing a little chorus. Young Samson was a Nazarite. His hair was thick and long. And that is just the reason why his arms were big and strong. Lovely little chorus, but maybe not all that sound. You see, Samson's long hair was a badge of his consecration to God. And the result of Samson's consecration and obedience and separation was the Spirit of God in him. And that was the secret of Samson's strength. And that's the secret of the strength of every child of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Notice that it says the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. There was a time in Samson's life whenever the Spirit of God came upon him. He was set apart from his mother's womb like John the Baptist, but there was a literal time whenever the Spirit of God began to move him. And that's the experience of many believers. They can look back to a time in their life whenever the Lord just took them up and began a process in their life and began to take them and make them and use them. The Spirit of God came upon him at times. The Spirit of God works sovereignly. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So it is with every one that is born of the Spirit. Look at the place lived. The Spirit of God began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. This was Samson's home place. This is where he lived. And he knew the blessing of God at home. He grew in size, he grew in stature, he grew in strength, he grew in spirit at home. The Spirit of God began to move him at home. And friends, if we want God's blessing publicly, we will also need to know God's blessing privately. There's no point saying, Lord, make me a man of God in front of the world, and every time I get up to speak, make me mighty, if we don't want to be mighty with God in the secret place. And mighty with God in the closet. The Spirit of God began to move him in the home place, the place that he lived. See, it's what we are in secret that really counts. A friend at work used to have a little thing behind his machine and it said on it, I am what I think about when I am alone, not what I pretend to be in public. And in the secret place, Samson was being used of the Lord. Between Zorah, the place of hornets, the enemy was never far away, and between Eshtaol, which I understand means petition, desire, request. And friend, if you want to be protected from the wiles of the devil, from the sting of sin and from the sting of Satan, cry unto God that he'll fill you with the Spirit of God just where you are. The birth and boyhood of Samson, a promise fulfilled, a person named, progress witnessed, presence experienced, power realized, a place lived. But just in conclusion, potential evidenced. Anybody could look at Samson's life and say, there's a young man. And they would have said that the word that marks that young man's life is the word potential. Came from a good home. That's not all that important. With the Lord, God can still use us. But it is a blessing. Praying parents. Promises of God behind him. The claims of God in his life. The Spirit of God resting upon him. He was growing. He was strong. He was healthy. He had his whole life before him. Potential. And I look at people in this meeting this morning. And I can't help but wonder and ask myself the question, will you ever reach your true potential in life? Only one life to live, I could never withhold it from God. One poor life, smallly offering at best. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. Potential. Potential for good, but just as much potential for evil. Potential for God, potential for the devil. Potential to cause people to rejoice, or potential to cause people to be weak and to be broken. Potential. I wonder, will you reach your true potential for God today? D.L. Moody was challenged as a young boy sitting in Sunday school whenever the superintendent said these words, God has yet to see what he can do with one individual totally surrendered to him. Moody took up the challenge. W.P. Nicholson said something similar. He says, God has yet to see what he can do with one man provided he will not touch the glory. I wonder, will you be that man today, or that woman today? The Spirit of God will move you at times in your home place. And you'll grow strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and the hand of God will be with you, and you'll be made a blessing. May God bless these thoughts to your hearts this morning. Let's turn together to hymn 530. Very simple and relatively short hymn by Charles Wesley. A charge have I to keep, a God to glorify, an ever-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. You have a soul to be saved, friend. If you're not a Christian today, you have a soul. That soul will live as long as God lives in but one of two places, God's heaven or God's hell. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? But salvation of the soul is only the beginning. To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. O, may all my powers engage to do my Master's will. Arm me with zealous care as in thy sight to live, and O, thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray and on myself rely, and let me ne'er my trust betray, but press to realms on high. Think about the words as we sing them. We're going to stand together as we sing this short and yet very profound hymn. Hymn 530, standing after we get...